Welcome to the Operation Move podcast. My name is Zoe and I'm back with Katie.
Hello, I came back again. I survived the school holidays.
We're very excited about school holidays. Yes. Very good.
I loved having my kids home and I love that they're back at school.
Yeah, I always really enjoy probably the first 10 days and then... Then the last, you know, because it's often just that little bit more than 2 weeks because they have their, you know, teacher only day like on the Monday. So, and, you know, I count all the days. So the last 5 days are a bit like tearing your hair out with that. They just get so sick of one.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? We had 3 weeks off, which the first week they were with their dad, so it was still only like 2 and a bit weeks with me because they had a student free day yesterday as well. But we had the last week, which was just kind of a home week, and by the end of that, they just weren't liking each other. And yesterday, the big two both had friends over who, you know, their parents dropped them off on the way to work, so it was quite a long day. And the little two were so angry because the big ones didn't want to play with them, and by the time the extras went home, oh my gosh, I was just like, I am done, I just need to go to bed. It was hard.
I really enjoy the break from the routine, but I'm always really ready to get back to the routine when they're back at school. Right, it was in the bedroom this morning while she was having her toast and she's like, why do I have to go to school, why?
Because mummy's going to lose her mind.
I don't know, I said to my husband, today's Independence Day.
Oh, gosh, it's terrible, isn't it? But it's funny. Mine went, Rob took them to school this morning and they're all jumping in the car and they're waving bye-bye and I'm like, bye. And I shut the door to the garage and I went and jumped back in bed for 15 minutes and just sat there and went, oh, quiet. It was nice.
Yeah, it's so nice. And it was good this morning. I have Piper normally can, you know, being in kindergarten, she's still getting used to the uniform and everything. And we've had basically the first 2 terms of just non-stop tantrums about not liking the shorts or not liking the shirt or the shoes or the socks. And so it was somewhat cautiously that I brought her in her school uniform to put on this morning, thinking, how's this going to go? And she just, she got dressed and I'm like, what do you think about these socks? And she's like, they're okay. And I'm like, okay, that's awesome. I'm just going to back away slowly and not make any sudden movements here.
Radical. My oldest was up, dressed, bag packed, breakfasted and ready to go at 7:15, which is the benefit of an early night last night. Right? And they were all really excited to go back because they just crave routine so much, and the last week has been the opposite of that. So I think it's really good for all of us to be back where we should be, and we can appreciate each other so much more when we're not in each other's pockets.
Yes, exactly. And it's kind of interesting because today we're talking about what happens when you get injured. And I think for me, the routine is the hardest thing about injury, you know, it's one thing to kind of, it doesn't really bother me so much, you know, not running or not training in terms of, you know, potentially losing fitness or something like that. But it really is much more in terms of not being outside as much, not having time to myself and losing my routine.
And I think when you've been training, particularly for a big event or you've been training for a long time, you feel it even more keenly. And I know for us, I really couldn't get a whole lot done during the school holidays in terms of even getting out for a walk. And I went out this morning for my first run in months, and the best thing about it was coming home and going, yes, I can get back into my 3 days a week or 4 days a week, and this is what I do in the morning after the kids go to school. And it just feels good to have that structure back in your life. And injury can really put a big hole in that very quickly.
Yeah, and it is one of those things where, you know, sometimes it's something that you potentially could have seen coming, in which case you can beat yourself up about that. Sometimes it's completely random, and sometimes, you know, everything has been kind of going along really well and it just sort of comes out of nowhere. I'm such a creature of routine. Somebody in one of the Learn to Run groups this morning was saying, I really need to have set days so I don't have to think about it. And I said, yeah, you know, you just, that's what I do too. Everything is completely set. I don't get up in the morning and think, what am I going to do today?
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
And, you know, you might have changes to that, you know, if like one of the kids are sick or I'm sick or something like that. But all things being equal, I have the set times that I do things, I plan it out. And when you don't have that, it's a bit like there's this sort of little cartoon about rest days, where there's this little cartoon person lying on the floor looking very, very destitute. Mm-hmm. And it says that moment when it's rest day and you don't know what to do with the rest of your life. And that's what injury is like, except it's a lot longer than one day.
Yes, you suddenly have all this time that doesn't exist in your normal life because you've created your normal life around that time not existing. And it's like, what am I meant to do with this?
Yeah, and I think it's easy to kind of, you know, like I know that there have been times when I've been injured, but not so injured that I couldn't go for a walk or, you know, something like that. But it's easy to just go, oh, well, I can't go for a run, so I'm not going to go for a walk. And then I miss out on all of that time by myself and outside, which is actually a big part of why I enjoy going for a run anyway. But you can get real sort of blinders on with it. So I think that I've probably had, you know, I've had little niggly injuries, but I've probably had two major injuries over, you know, probably 5 years of running. And I think that the best thing that I've ever done with it is after I've been to the physio and I have an idea of what I'm supposed to be working towards, what exercises I'm supposed to be doing and all of that sort of stuff, I just structure that like I would training. So it provides me a routine and I commit to it as much as I would to running, which is hard because, you know, like physio exercises are a bit boring, you know.
Yeah, they're not the most exciting thing in the world. But that's the way you can fill your non-training time. Go to physio, see the specialist. Goodness knows I've spent enough time in those waiting rooms as well.
And shopping. I think shopping is also an excellent way to fill time. I certainly do that. You know, like runners who can't run, shop or plan.
Yes, so true. I have a habit of injuring myself 1 to 2 months out from big events. Like I've done it almost routinely. It's laughable, which does make me wonder how many of those injuries were psychosomatic. There were a couple that were clearly not. Like I did my TFL before, I think it was Sydney.
Mm.
Yeah, and that was when I started doing boot camp and CrossFit actually because I couldn't run. No, hang on, that was my foot. That was extensor tendonitis. Oh my gosh, I've got like a litany, so I've got to run through them. Can't remember, but I've done, you know, these injuries that were actual really not good injuries. I remember the extensor tendonitis because I was 16 k's into a 32 k run and it was out in the back, and I remember messaging you just going, I'm in a lot of pain and I have no way to get back to my car except to run these 16 k's, and it was agonizing and I paid for that for so long. But then, you know, you have these injuries that maybe, well, I've had injuries that maybe were not so physical and were much more about my own nerves about events and things like that, and my brain going, oh, here, I'll give you an out.
Yeah, like I think there was that time when you were probably going a bit faster than what you should have on towards the end of a run when you were tired, and then something happened with your foot, I seem to remember.
Yeah.
You fell over or something.
Oh, yeah, when I did my ankle, and then I went and ran the Suzanne half on it like an idiot and wrote myself off for the entire summer. Oh, my
yeah.
gosh, bad decisions.
Like, I think that there are things that happen in the brain when you are, like, sometimes it can be because you're almost so scared about failing that you push yourself too hard, and I've certainly done that. Like, I was working on a really aggressive marathon training plan. I was trying to squeeze in all of this extra running. I'd done a really hard run, and then I was supposed to, you know, for the do an easy run after that because I was sort of like essentially doing double workouts.
Yeah.
And I tore my adductor, and not in the hard run. It was just because I was so fatigued doing my sort of cool down run afterwards that my core collapsed and I tore my adductor. Mm-hmm. And in hindsight, I should have just said, "No, that was a really hard run, and that is all I'm going to get out of today, and I'll walk home."
Yeah, there's some hard lessons that you need to learn through running, though. And sometimes, you know, hearing it from someone else is not the same as doing it yourself, and you do have to learn the hard way.
Yeah.
And it is through those, you know, injuries that hopefully aren't too debilitating, but even when they are, that you think, you know, next time you know your body that bit better, you know what your capabilities are a bit more.
Yeah, and I think that that was more sort of, you know, blind adherence to a, you know, to that particular aggressive training plan, mm-hmm. rather than looking at what was going to be best for me at that particular point in time. Whereas there's also been things where I get closer to an event where I get scared about, you know, the goal, and so that's more kind of like phantom injury zone, like, oh, I'm not going to be able to do this because this, I've got this niggle, or, you know, my foot hurts, or, you know, I'm getting sick, or whatever it is, but it's more in my head than in actual reality, and it's because the goal scares me, so I kind of need in my brain some kind of reason why I might not be able to meet that goal, so it's still going to be okay if I don't. And then I convince myself that I'm not going to be able to make the goal, so then I can go out and run without that pressure, and then I make the goal.
Yeah.
It's very complicated.
Yeah, it is such a head game. Like, honestly, I truly believe that 90% of running goes on in your head. And your body just does what it does without worrying too much about it.
So, yeah, I think that those are two very, very different different things. And so when I tore the adductor, I knew immediately that something wasn't right, because I was getting pain in my hip, and not like aching pain, like actual sort of sharp pain when I was running. But, you know, I just kind of ran to get home at that point, and then when I got home, I noticed that I couldn't bear weight, and I thought, well, that's not good. And so that's when I then went to the physio, and they, you know, checked everything out, and it was sort of a combination of a whole lot of other things. So they got me to start doing some deep core work and some stretches and some glute firing stuff, and basically with something like that, it is just a matter of waiting it out until you feel that it's repaired enough that you can start doing gentle things and all of that kind of stuff. So it wasn't a huge amount of time off. Like, I'd say it was probably about 3 weeks off running, but I also think that I was really, you know, there's no point complaining about having the time off running if you're not going to commit to doing what the physio has told you to do. So yeah. I spent, you know, probably did what they told me to do twice a day, and I was religious about it. And now I see in my time hop, it pops up every now and then where I'll be there doing like hamstring stretches with like Piper on my stomach or something like that. Or like sometimes I'll be doing my core exercises and she'd be like on my back or something.
Yeah. Something we get asked a bit in, particularly in Learn to Run, as people are starting out and they do get some niggles and they're not too sure what's going on, is how do you tell the difference between an actual injury and what's a niggle and what means stop and what means go, which is always an interesting one for us to address as people who are not obviously physios but have our own experiences. And like, generally I think we tend to err on the side of caution, because that's we may not do that for ourselves but we suggest other people err on the side of caution.
I mean, it is hard in the beginning, because it's, you know, particularly if you have been not run in a long time, or it's your first attempt at running, it's really easy to mistake discomfort for injury or pain, you know, and pain is never okay, discomfort is fine. So I think it is just a matter of, you know, sort of figuring that out for yourself as you go along and say, okay, you know, if this is if my muscles are burning, maybe it's just because I haven't used them, or if this is aching, it's probably just because you know, it's developing and it's growing. But if I'm getting, you know, like a sharp pain, that's not normal.
And I think, you know, the rule of thumb generally should be, if in doubt, see a physio or see a professional and get that opinion, because it never hurts to have that information.
No, and we're lucky in Australia that you can go to a physio without needing a referral from a doctor, so it's not like a really annoying two-part system where you've got to go to a GP to get a referral to a physio. And, you know, like, obviously for some people who aren't in a health fund, you know, it's a reasonable cost, but you know, I think I get about half back on mine, so it usually ends up costing me about $30 to go to the physio. And I just take a long-term view of it, is like, even if I wasn't in my health fund and it cost me $65 to go to the physio, you know, that trip to the physio could potentially prevent me from a really long-haul six-month injury where I'm a real pain in the ass to be around for everyone. Mm.
And that's the value of it. Like, I don't have private health, so I've always paid the full price. And even then, it just is an investment in my own future health as well. Like, I don't intend to just run for the next few years. I intend to run for as long as I can. So in that sense, $60 nothing to help, you know, set up my body to be able to do that well into old age, I hope. And it's an investment that I'm more than happy to make.
And particularly if you get a if you find a good physio and you can develop a good relationship with them. And I think a lot of people hesitate to go to the physio, not because of the cost, because they're afraid that the physio is going to tell them to stop running. And you know, I certainly, when I tore up my adductor, I said to the physio, "So we've got this 45-kilometer run coming up in a few weeks," and she's like, "Okay," and she said, "You could do it, but you wouldn't be doing much after that." And so most of physios are really happy to work with you in terms of what your goals are. They're not going to do anything that's going to put you in serious harm, but they understand that for most people, they do want to recover as quickly as possible. And often there are these events that people have been training for some time. And if there is a way for them to be able to get out there and run them in a comfortable and safe way, that's what your goal is. And the vast majority of physios aren't going to see you and go, "Oh, okay, well, you're clearly not meant to run. Pick something else."
Yeah, they're generally trying to help you get back out there, not stop you doing it.
Yeah, like, so I didn't end up running that 45-kilometer run. I went down to the half to run another day.
Yeah, and you know what? Because of that, you can run another day. I guess that's the key difference, isn't it? You may not have run another day if you've done the 45.
So yeah. I mean, it is one of those things where, you know, events are great, but the thing that impacts most on my life is the runs that I do through the week, not, you know, a race or an event that I go to. And so when I'm talking to a physio, my focus is on my day-to-day runs, not a particular event. You know, it can be really disappointing to have to cancel. And certainly that year when I'd signed up for a few marathons and I had to go and transfer them to shorter distances, it didn't feel great. Like, that was not a fun experience for me. But I was then able to go out and run and do my, you know, normal adjusted training sort of at home. And that was way more important than one day.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the other thing with physios is, as you just said before, it's worth finding yourself a good one. I've seen a number. And I think I went to the same place a number of times and I saw a few different physios there. And there was one who, once I'd seen her once, I'm like, right, that is my person. You know, we clicked. She got what I was trying to do. She worked with runners. She was not there kind of pushing things that I wasn't happy with. She understood my agenda, and that was a really valuable thing. So there was another one there who was really pushing to get me out there much quicker than I think would have been safe, thinking that that's what I wanted, but not actually listening to what I said. So I guess it's like every care provider, it's worth spending some time talking to people, and when you find someone you like, stick with them.
Yeah, I mean, the funny thing is my physio is where I run past them every day. So every time I run past the physiotherapy sign, I like straighten up my core a little bit, you know, like get my posture happening. But I have seen in like I was walking past a new osteo that had popped up locally, and they actually do a running gait analysis as part of the osteo practice. And that's actually something that I'd like to do, because I've never, because we sort of live where we live, I haven't been somewhere that has done a specific running gait analysis on me. And I've certainly had lots of good things happen with osteo treatment in the past, because I've got one leg that's longer than the other, and a minor scoliosis in my pelvis tends to twist a little bit. There have been times when I've needed everything to be sort of straightened out a bit, but I haven't, like, I don't wear orthotics simply because I've had it for as long as I have. I've kind of adjusted to it, and I think at this stage, making any drastic changes isn't, you know, day to day, I'm not in any pain, and I'm kind of the if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, osteo sounds really good, actually. That's one of the few things I've never done, and my partner swears by it. He thinks they're fantastic. And, you know, I haven't had a reason to see one lately, thank goodness. But, you know, I think that's definitely worth investigating. It sounds good if they're doing gait analysis. That sounds really
Yeah, I mean, I
interesting.
think probably the main difference for me, because I've seen chiros as well, is at least with the osteos that I've seen, there's a lot more emphasis on what's going on around the bone. So there's no point in kind of like fixing up your alignment if your muscles are so tight that they're just going to pull it right back where it was to begin with. And so with my hips, when I've had them fixed up in the past, I've had more success with osteo, because I find it to be a bit more of a holistic treatment. But again, I know people who have had not so great experience with osteos and have a great relationship with their chiro. And so it really just comes down to, you know, you try things, you know, some people you're going to click with, some things are going to work for your body. You know, it is really just a matter of trying different things and seeing what works for you.
Yeah, for sure. One of the other things to think about in terms of injury, particularly when we're talking about physios and stuff, is even if you're not injured, sometimes it's worth going to see a physio just for a bit of a tune-up and a bit of, you know, check in with someone, and they might be able to give you, or an osteo for that matter, give you some ideas as to ways that you can help continue on the path you're going
And
without
if you
injury.
go to an osteo or a physio, most times you get a massage in there. So, you know, I think that's worth it. It's like two for the price of one. And some, like I've been to some physios too who do a bit of acupuncture as well. So you often get a whole range of treatments just by going to one session. And it's definite, I think it's definitely worth it, because like for prevention is much better than rehab, you know. So it's like one of the common things that we have in Learn to Run would be shin splints, which I'm not surprised that it's notorious. I had shin splints when I was starting, and it's really easy to think, oh, well, my muscles are, you know, really, it's shins are in agony, I have to rest. But when you kind of realize that actually, you know, if all I do is rest, that's not going to fix the problem, and you have to have a sort of a range of solutions to deal with shin splints, because it's much more about the muscles needing development, and that's not going to happen if you exclusively rest, and it's also not going to happen if you're in agonizing pain. So you've got to obviously get to the point where you're pain-free, but also able to start developing that muscle as well.
Yeah, and the great thing about seeing a professional, even if you don't think anything's wrong, is they might pick up on imbalances or tightnesses that you're not aware of yet, but then in picking them up, it could avoid something further down the track, which is always a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, and it's interesting too. Like, I had a body scan, which one of the things that I was interested in, as someone who tends to be weaker on my left side than on my right, and significantly weaker, so that I can notice the difference of attempting like a single leg squat on one side to the other, and the same with a lunge. Like, I can feel it. And so I had the body scan done, and I was really interested because it measures muscle imbalances. So if you've got more muscle on one side of your body than the other side, and it showed that my muscle was completely equal. I'm like, that is
That's
oh,
fascinating.
interesting. And so it's almost like it's all there, but I'm just not using it effectively, or Or maybe it is just that my right side is so used to taking over that it's just changing that movement pattern is the challenge, rather than it actually, it maybe it's not actually weaker, maybe it's just used to, maybe it's just lazy. Like it's so weird. But yeah, it's very interesting once you get into that side of things. But it was actually, it was great because I saw that and I'm like, right, okay, well, there's nothing really that needs to be corrected there beyond me continuing to force the left side to do stuff.
Yeah, bodies are amazing things, and there's so much going on that we are just completely blissfully unaware of, and becoming aware of them is awesome, especially if it is something that's, you know, going to prevent a problem later on.
Yeah, and I mean, I think probably the big challenge with being injured for a lot of people is the mental health sort of side of things, you know, because a lot of times, like I know as somebody who's had depression in the past, that I kind of think that, you know, like if the running goes down, the likelihood of not necessarily a depressive episode happening, but me starting to feel more out of balance is definitely gonna happen, because that's part of how I handle stress and how I, you know, I sort of, you know, reset, and you know, it's part of my self-care and all of that kind of stuff. So in periods of injury, I've had to kind of go, okay, well, this isn't happening, and so I need to be able to replace it with something else that might be totally different, but that is going to give me the same sorts of benefits. And it might not even be physical exercise. You know, I'm lucky in that a lot of the time if I'm injured, there is still, you know, stuff that I can do. Like I can go down to my CrossFit gym and they'll, you know, adjust things for me so I can do stuff. But it's also, you know, I would then sort of like focus on other things that are going to be sort of like a creative outlet for me, I suppose. So I might start, you know, new, tend to do, you know, new photography projects or new crochet stuff, or, you know, like be cooking something a bit more fancy, yep, in the kitchen or whatever it is. Like it might even just be me going, you know, I'm gonna go and I'm gonna have my, you know, nice coffee outside in the sunshine and relax for an hour instead of, you know, the hour that I would spend doing my run, so I still have that time to myself.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the really key things for me as well, because for me is also running is such a mental health thing, and having not been able to run or walk for a little while, it's just one of those things that really kind of knocked me in the face. How am I going to support my mental health while I can't do this thing that I love? And for me it was, you know, reading more and things like that, finding other ways to nurture myself. But because running is the thing that takes me out of my house, away from all the stuff I've got going on, away from my work, it's the thing where all I can do is what I'm doing in that moment, whereas the rest of my life I'm constantly thinking of what's next, what do I need to do for kids, what are we having for dinner. Trying to find something that matches that can be a bit tricky. And what you're saying even just about going outside and, you know, sitting down and enjoying your coffee, we don't do that. We don't do that because when we're home we think we need to be cleaning or vacuuming or, you know,
yeah,
whatever.
I mean,
else.
And it's even at the point where, like, I, like today I went for a run but I didn't come home and then go for a run. I was still in my workout gear and I brought the stuff that I needed for a run to school and I ran from there, so I then don't come home and get sucked into, you know, whatever it is that's going on at home and all of that kind of stuff. And I've certainly done that before too, where I've actually gone, no, I'm not going to go, particularly when I've been injured, I'm not going to go home today. I'm going to go straight from school drop off. I'm going to go to my mum's house and have a cup of coffee because I can't work there, you know, yep. And, or, you know, just things where I have to be, you know, just have to get out of the house, I think makes particularly probably a lot less important for me when I was working out of home, because then I would be at work and I would have an hour's lunch break and could go for a walk or do whatever in that time. And but when you're working at home and it's a lot harder to separate home stuff and work stuff and then just my stuff. So it is, I think, a good thing to sort of set up ways that you can nurture yourself, because the thing is I could be the most productive person on the planet and I would never, ever, ever get through all of the things I have to do. So, you know, I might as well just go, yep, so I can take this hour for myself to do what I want to do, because it's actually, in the grand scheme of things, it's not going to impact that sort of to-do list, but it is probably going to give me more clarity of mind that when I come to do that stuff, I probably am going to get through more of it because I'm not operating from a point of crisis management.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you are injured and you are unable to do this thing and it's super important for your mental health, do find the thing that you can do that's going to match it as closely as possible. Even if you're not getting the physical exercise, try and find ways to match the mental one. I remember when I did my foot and we were coming up to some big event and I was really worried about whether I was going to be able to do it. And so in the mornings after I dropped the kids off, when I would usually run, I would go to a coffee shop and have a coffee and just sit there and, you know, talk to a friend, or I'd catch up with someone and just not be where I would be, so that I was still nurturing that away from home thing. And it is the thing about working from home, and we have a lot of people with us who work from home or who are raising small children. And when home is where you are most of the time, being out of it is really important.
Yeah, it is. And I think that it's that probably my most, in some ways, my most frustrating weeks are the weeks where I don't do anything but be at home and, you know, like cleaning and working and whatever else. And I can get to the end of the week and feel like all I've done is spin my wheels and I haven't actually accomplished anything. Whereas if I kind of separate things out and go, right, now I'm doing this and then I will come back to work, I tend to just have, even though I might end up doing about the same amount, I end up having more satisfaction in what I have done, I guess, because it's more conscious and it's not so much like, oh, I'm going to, you know, fold this washing and then I'll answer this email and then I'll do this and then I'll do that. It's much more like, you know, coffee time in the sunshine, and sometimes, and I've started meditating a bit, so sometimes I might do that in the morning and then I'll be like, right, now I'm going to hang out the washing, so that's done, and now I'm going to spend a bit of time writing. And because it's more sort of focused and on purpose, I end up feeling like I've done more at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the key aspects of the MindFit program that a lot of our people have joined, and as people sign up for Learn to Run and training, they have the option of joining at a discount. And one of the first things we do in the first module is learn to prioritize and schedule in me time, basically, even if it's 10 minutes a day, but it can't be me time that is spent on Facebook, even though that's some of our first, would be the first
and
thing.
And if people
do
enjoy jokes about women and me time, you have to check out The Man Who Has It All on Facebook, because he's awesome and hilarious and I love him.
Yes, so funny.
But
we all talk about me time, but who does it? Who does it? Like, honestly, this is why we have to schedule it in. It has to be a vital part of your day, because that 10 minutes, like, so I was saying to the group this morning, because we're having a check-in week this week to see how everyone's going with it. And so yesterday, my me time, I had 6 kids in this house. I literally locked myself in my bedroom for 10 minutes with a choc chip muffin and my Kindle, and I ignored the noise outside. And I came out and I was a better person for it. I could cope with those kids. Whereas I was, you know, kind of at the end of my tether at the point when I did that. We all need that time out, but we don't give ourselves permission for it.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of the trap that people fall into is that they've bought this idea that there's such a thing as multitasking, when actually in reality there is no such thing as multitasking. Not for men, not for women. It's not gender specific. What you are doing when you think you are multitasking is moving from one thing to another, you know, like back and forth and possibly in between 3 things, and you are losing a lot of focus by doing that. And so what you'll find is if you just go, right, you know, this is what I'm doing right now, and just have a, and it doesn't even have to be a long period of time, it could just be 15 minutes. That's often what I do with sort of when I get overwhelmed with house cleaning stuff, which is not my favorite.
No,
I'll go
that's
like,
fine.
right, this is what I'm doing for 15 minutes, and then I'll go and do something else. And it's much more likely to happen than me going, like, looking at this giant pile of washing that I have to fold. And then what I don't actually spend, like, if I'm in there, I'm like, I'll start folding and then I'll start looking at something on Facebook, and then, because I don't really want to be there. Whereas if it's 15 minutes, it's like power through what I want to try and get done. And I think that you can, it's easy with like coming back to the injury thing to look at it as an obstacle and something that is somehow worth less of your time than what training is. But I think it's such a great, like, out of all of my injuries, I've always come away and learnt something really valuable from them, and I've always devoted time, like really concentrated time, to rehab. Not like, oh, I've got 5 minutes, I'll half-heartedly go through my physio exercises now. So, I think I think probably with the last one, the thing that I really learned that I now do every time I do a quality session where I'm going to be going a bit faster often than normal, or like a bit more effort. I'm like going up doing hill sprints, I might not be going faster, but it's definitely harder. I do like quite a long warm up, and it's really easy to kind of like feel like it's 20 minutes. It's taking away from the benefit of having a shorter run because you've still got the 20-minute warm up, and that it's not as important as the actual run, but it is one of those things that I think goes a long way to not only sort of injury prevention, but by the time I actually start that harder part of my workout, it's not that hard because I've prepared my body and it's ready. So, and I think that since then, I don't think I've ever really skipped it. Definitely what I took from that experience was quality is more important than quantity. So I'd rather have, a really focused, solid session once a week than kind of like dragging my way through five or so less focused sessions, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess the key with managing injury mentally, as it is with everything, is just to remember it's not going to last forever. The sleepless nights with babies don't last forever. Those first days at a new job where you don't know anyone don't last forever. This isn't going to last forever either. It's irritating. And then the time will pass and you'll look back and go, gee, that was a pain, but it's done now.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that the thing with that too, that's hard, is not knowing where the end point is, or maybe that's just for really rabid planners such as myself.
Yeah, and myself also.
If I knew, if I went to a physio and they said, right, this will take, you will be out for exactly 3 weeks, I would take that and go, okay, cool. 3 weeks, I can do 3 weeks. That's okay. I'll go through, I'll do my exercises in 3 weeks. I'll be here, and then I can run again. But for me, the challenge is going through that period of time with the not knowing, and then every day you're kind of like, am I better? Am I worse? And you're kind of overanalyzing everything. But it is a bit sort of a bit like the training part. You've just got to trust in the process and that your body needs time to heal, and it will let you know when it's ready. And it's much sort of similar to recovery period after a big race. Like, you can kind of get to a certain point and think, oh, I could be okay, and you do a run and it's like kind of okay, but then you get to a point where it all kind of clicks and you're like, right, I'm recovered now and I'm good to go. And injury is much the same way, and it sort of goes up and down. It's not as linear as some of us planners would like.
No. And the other thing you can do is during the time you are injured is come and hang out in the community group, talk to people. They might have ideas of things you can be doing in the interim that are safe to do with your injury, and that might be the thing that help you get through mentally. Reach out to people. Someone else will have gone through what you're going through. If nothing else, you'll have someone else to go, yeah, this sucks with.
Yeah, I mean, and it was not that long ago that somebody pointed me in the direction of this rolling technique, which I often give to people in the training groups now. You can search for it, or we'll put it in the notes too. It's from Mobility Mastery, and it is hands down the most painful.
Ha
painful sort of calf rolling technique type thing. But it is so good, and it's at the point now where I do it regularly enough that I did it yesterday and it didn't actually hurt that much. Oh. Doesn't matter how long you've been doing it, you can always get new ideas from people who have been through a similar thing and may have something else that you can try, which at the very least will keep you occupied while you can't do anything.
And if you need some ideas on some shopping you might do in all your spare time, jump into the community group. We'll give you ideas.
We've got plenty of ideas. If you use the code OPMOVE, you can get 10% off at Run Faster Gear. So that's something that you could check out.
Oh, and you know what? Very quick plug for them. I went for my first run in months today and I pulled on my Run Faster high waist tights. And at the moment, there are three things that fit me because my belly is quite big. And I was worried that they were going to be really tight and cut off my circulation, but they didn't. My flip belt did. But the pants were great and they kind of actually did really support my belly, which was awesome because that bounce when you run is jarring.
Yes.
But so, yeah, I was super impressed. I'm going to write to them and say, I like them. Can I please have some more?
So I think that that's pretty much all we've got to talk about today. Shockingly, I know, but it's disturbingly close to when I have to pick up the children. Snuck up on me today.
Yeah.
Next week we're going to be talking about injury prevention tips, which we've talked a little bit about today, but we'll go into a bit more detail on things that you can do to injury proof your running.
That'll be a good one. We get to talk about weightlifting.
Yay.
Yeah, my favourites.
So what have we got going on this week? This week is the last week to sign up for 5K, 10K or half marathon training groups, which is starting on the 25th of July.
And how fun is the group already?
Oh, it's so fun.
I love it.
It's a great time of year to be, you know, I think that people are starting to come out of winter hibernation a bit. I mean, I keep forgetting that, you know, like I don't live somewhere
where there's real winter. You don't know what winter is. Yeah, no, it's definitely, like even for all my whinging and carrying on down here, I'm going to admit that I think we've reached a little break in the weather, if nothing else. And over the weekend, it was stunning. And you have those moments where you go, oh, this is why I loved running, because there's nothing like going out. And I just cannot wait for spring. It's such a good time to be training for spring events.
Yeah, and enjoy it while you can, because before you know it, it's going to be summer and everybody's going to be complaining about that. So we've also got August Learn to Run is starting on the 15th of August, and this week is early bird rate. So if you sign up this week, you get 20% off, and you can join the Facebook group and start doing all of your preparation stuff in the group with the help of the coaches and the mentors, and get a bit of a head start on Learn to Run in August.
Mm, awesome. Good time to be learning to run too.
Oh, it's always a good time to learn to run.
Yeah, true.
Biased at all, you know. Not, but still.
Yeah, I'm just that excited about the prospect of warm weather. Like coming into spring, even summer here. See, our summer I think maybe is not so bad as yours, and maybe I just don't notice it because I hate winter so much. But coming this time of year, if you start now, by the time it's spring, you know you're comfortably running 3-4 Ks. You're just getting out there and enjoying it.
Yeah, perfect. I mean, summer here isn't. If you get out first thing in the morning, it's not bad. Like sometimes it's gross. You know, like sometimes when it's, you know, 5 a.m. in the morning and it's 25 degrees, you're like, seriously, you know, like what is this? But if you get out first thing in the morning, it's not bad. It's more like at the moment because of getting Piper to school and her not being cool with me going until the bell goes, I have to do CrossFit early morning or nothing, basically. So I do that, and then I will, if I'm going to run that day, I will run after school drop-off, which I can do at the moment because it's cool enough that it's not uncomfortable to run at that time of day. Whereas if I get into summer, that's going to be a less enjoyable thing. But then it's school holidays anyway, so it's not like I'm going to be doing that really. Yeah. Anyway,
everything shifts then.
Yes. So, I mean, she started saying that she wants to run with me, and that she's only 5. And I'm like, we could do that maybe, and you maybe run for 500 meters.
Oh, bless her. Isn't that gorgeous? That's so sweet. I love that that's what they take. Love it.
Yeah. I mean, even Riley, who, you know, like she came to run with me a few times and decided it was really boring, but she's now decided that she'd like to shift her affections to Josh. So I think he's going to take her to park run on the weekend.
Awesome. My older daughter isn't a huge fan of running. She's got a bike and she quite enjoys that, but you know, we kind of have to push her a bit. But Pokemon Go is shifting everything in this household. I'm leading the charge, I will fully admit. But you know what? I think anything that's going to encourage kids to get out, we've got a Pokestop at the park near our house, so it's a nice little walk there. It's a nice walk back. There seems to be always
Our
people.
Pokestop is near the bakery. It's just
Oh,
a bit
dangerous.
dangerous. So we went there to do that the other day, which is funny because I've had them walk down there before, and oh my God, it's like
The wind.
non-stop complaints. It's so far, I'm so tired. Can't you carry me? Anyway, so we walked down there, no complaints,
Nice.
apart from me having to be very careful when they were crossing roads, just looking at the screens. And so we got there, and then they're like, oh, bakery, I'll just get this giant choc chip muffin. So they got that, and then walked home, no complaints at all about the walking whatsoever, and they caught a few Pokemon while they're out.
Yeah, I think that's a really good thing. I'm loving it. And we're having heaps of fun. And you know, for the people who are hating on it, because there's always haters, you know, it'll pass. It's another fad. Don't get your knickers in a twist. And in
Oh, you know,
the meantime, let us have fun.
I can't handle people who are snobs about that. You know, like you don't like it,
Don't do it.
don't do it, and it's relatively easy to just, you know, if it's on, you know, sort of your social media feed or whatever, to scroll past without being an ass about it. You know, it's sort of like anything. It's like people who, you know, like if you happen to be posting your runs on social media and they'll reply, oh, I did a marathon this weekend, and then they'll allude to some kind of House of Cards marathon, and you know, which is fine, you know, it's not a big deal, but they have to know that I've heard that joke like 100 times now. And so it might be funny to them, but to me, I'm like, yeah, that was funny 50 times ago. But now it's just kind of like, you know.
Yeah, let people have their joy where they find it. So,
Pokemon.
Pokemon. Good
Yeah,
note to
maybe
end on.
somebody posted a picture on Twitter the other day, and it's like, they've taken a picture of the Pokemon, and the Pokemon's like looking at them frying some eggs, and they're
Oh.
like, I don't know if I should catch it or apologize.
Oh God, it's fun. I mean, oh God, there's that much misery and horrible stuff on the news at the moment. If something's a bit fun and it's getting my kids out of the house and we're enjoying ourselves together, I'm gonna roll with that.
Yeah, I mean, I never get my kids outside, and they were outside the other day hunting around looking for stuff. I will definitely be taking it. So, yes, anyway, as per usual, we've gone off on random tangent, and we will talk to you next week.
Talk to you then.
Bye.
Bye.